Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back, and to those of you watching on Facebook Live, welcome to our second straight Friday afternoon special playoff edition of our show. Brought to you by Value Home Centers, your hometown team. We'll be on camera here for the next 2 hours. Did we tell Trey Wingo that he needs to set up? He's probably got a setup, right? Everybody does.
Joe, did you send him
now.
The link? Joe, did you send him the link?
I'll text it to him.
That's at 4:30. Right now, Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. Let's get a packing update first. Are you all set?
Oh, no. No. I've been doing laundry today to make sure I have everything that I need to pack clean, and then I can decide what I need to pack. Try to decide exactly what to wear. I kind of go reverse as far as what I need, meaning game is first. Like, what do I need for the game? Make sure that's done. Okay. Leading up to the game, anything I need. I do some TV, things like that. And then Saturday night, while I'm in town, what do I need to go out? And then what am I wearing to the airport tomorrow? So I kind of go in reverse chronological order.
Makes a lot of sense.
Nice to have a plan.
Mm-hmm. It's going to feel warm. I mean, temperature is in the 30s for this game. Might feel might feel much warmer than that. So lucky you in this case. Well, we've talked about it all week. We've talked about it all year. Bills and Chiefs in the playoffs. Here it comes. How do you think you feel, Sal, about the Bills' chances Sunday compared with how you felt about their chances a year ago in this game?
I don't particularly recall a year ago, but I felt their offense through those two playoff games they played at home just it wasn't necessarily going to be enough to go to Kansas City unless they upped the game a little bit, right? You go because they did not play particularly well on offense in those two games against the Colts and the Ravens, and I do remember feeling like, yeah, that's a challenge. They got to play better. You know, it was a concern. I think if I remember right, thinking into that game, they're going to have to get a few breaks go their way, and then you never know. And guess what? They did early on. They were up 9-0 because of a muff punt, if you remember, that was recovered. And then the Bills scored a touchdown right after that. In this game, it's kind of flipped because I think they're playing well. They're playing really well on offense after last week. Maybe not necessarily like play to play the last few weeks, but guys, I mean, they're still averaging like 30 points a game over the last month. And obviously their defense has played really well. So I don't think they need the breaks this game. I think they just can't make they can't give the Chiefs the breaks this game. That's the way I'm looking at it differently.
Right. Like take care of the ball, of course. Yeah. Right. And, you know, avoid guys just running open. Right. Yeah. I mean, and tackle, I guess. I mean, wow. Thanks. How'd Bulldog get this job? You know, they just got to stay out of the ditch. Like, I feel like it's right to think that they are peaking at the right time because of how they looked last week. I do think it is, Sal, very different than how they looked in the first two games of the playoffs last year, now recognizing it's only one game here and they're playing the Chiefs in the divisional round as opposed to in the championship round. But, yeah, I think they're in much bigger form. I don't know how much we talked about or I talked about being worried about their offense going into Kansas City last year in the title game. It is right to say that they weren't in great form going in.
No, that's right. And I think the biggest thing, and I've said this to you guys, as you know, it's not some groundbreaking news. I think we all know really the biggest difference, especially on offense, is their ability to run the ball right now. They just really had no running game last year. Josh Allen was their running game. They were trying to piece it together. Every once in a while, they'd get something going here or there, but it was a big talking point, so much so that we come out of that game thinking that's the number one thing they need to focus on in the offseason, running back, running game, things like that. That's not the case right now. It was for a lot of this year, and even Sean McDermott, remember going back to, boy, was it week one? Was it whenever it was, early in the season, he said, he kind of referenced like, yeah, it's been the case for a while now. We have to get this better. And then I remember later in the year, he kind of said like, it's tough to like just get better at that as you go along, but you try, and it's tough to just come up with some magic solution. I don't know what they necessarily did in house other than what we can see on the field with Ryan Bates and Devin Singletary getting more carries, but this is a solution because they're playing a lot better and they're running the ball way better than they did a year ago.
Sal, I don't know what this is to say either, but to that point, I could see both teams here in this game thinking that the running game has like maybe more value than you or I might think, that the outside mm-hmm. might think in terms of expectations. Like, it's always the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks are the stars of the show, and especially in a game like this. But, I mean, you just said it about the Bills' offense, and I could see it from the Chiefs, too, with the Bills' pass pressure, with Poyer and Hyde doing the job they're doing. And, you know, maybe that's McKinnon or maybe it's not. But last week, watching that game back, I mean, it was pretty easy for McKinnon and the Chiefs running the ball. That's not a team, Pittsburgh, that was really good in that area anyway. But the Bills have had their ups and downs when it comes to this. I could see both teams thinking that that's a more integral factor than in the playoff game or in week five.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, to me, it also might speak to, as crazy as it sounds, that they have these great quarterbacks, right? Maybe you try to limit the other quarterback's possessions. Maybe you try to kind of slow them down by controlling the clock a little bit and running the ball a little bit. And if you run the ball, you know, obviously you could fumble, but maybe that's less of a chance of a turnover, a big sack that changes the game. And I'm not saying that either team here is going to turn to, oh, we're going to become a run team, run heavy team. They're going to put the ball in Allen's and Mahomes' hands, but I wouldn't be surprised, exactly like you just said, Mike, that they feel that this is going to be an important week to run the ball, especially considering, A, what you said about the Bills' run defense at times this year, especially earlier in the year, and B, the way the Chiefs' run defense has also been. I mean, they are 31 out of 32 teams in the regular season in yards per play on the ground. They've given up close to 4.8 yards per carry. We saw Melvin Gordon a few weeks ago really run well on them, and even in Drew Lock. You know, and obviously the Bills have
right.
Josh Allen. I will make this point, though, too, about Jerick McKinnon, because you're right. I think at least there's some advantage here with the Bills that I don't know if Pittsburgh was necessarily ready for that, like prepared and buttoned up for Jerick McKinnon, whereas now the Bills have seen him on film and know, okay, if they don't have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, this is the guy, this is what they like to do. I think at least you have a body of work to prepare yourself. And the teams that have given the Bills trouble running the ball are generally more powerful offensive lines, power teams. That's not McKinnon's game. The Bills are actually pretty good because they're athletic on defense at flowing sideline to sideline.
I could see them throwing it to him, and they did.
Yep.
They did some of that last week. And
you're right.
You know, we've talked before, even this week, about the Chiefs and that particular aspect of their offense. Edwards-Helaire never really became really that relevant as a receiver. And that was, I think, what most people thought he would be. Like, that was a key reason why they picked him like they did. But that hasn't really happened. So, you know, it happened with the Bills and Singletary as a receiver and part of this resurgence. Think about the game in New England where Allen checked down a lot, right? So he's got that. They have that club in the bag, too, if they need it.
And can I make this point, too, Mike, that, you know, with Edwards-Helaire, he's missed three games. He has this shoulder injury. He's questionable. He has no injury designation for the game. He has no injury designation. Andy Reid basically said, like, yeah, you don't want to give it time. He didn't list him as questionable, so it seems like he's going to play, but he kind of said that they're going to see if he's going to play. But either way, even if he plays, I mean, I don't know how super effective he's going to be. I mean, if you're the Bills' defense, do you kind of even maybe hope that that's the case? Maybe, you know, I'd rather get a dose of Edwards-Helaire coming back off the shoulder injury than get the heavy dose of Jerick McKinnon. I don't think that's unfair to think that way.
I don't know how much it matters, but maybe you're right. I don't know how much like preparation for a certain running back. Are they different enough? But yeah, like he has not been explosive. He has not been, well, to put it one way, somebody that makes you think he was right to be picked in the first round,
right.
You know? So yeah. We'll see what we get. But McKinnon did well last week for sure. You're right.
Sal, what do you think for like from a schematic standpoint on offense? We know the variety of personnel groupings that the Bills used against New England were like a really, I think, a key part of the victory and just keeping New England off balance. Refresh my memory, the game in Kansas City, was it not maybe the first game where they were very heavy with 11 personnel? I'm not sure if I remember that exactly right, but I felt like there was something that they did that was sort of outside of what they had done in the prior four games this year. And so I wonder if we'll see the same variety or if they might go to whatever worked against Kansas City back in October.
Well, that's the big question, Bulldog. I'm not sure how either team is because you have the AFC Championship game last year, and I think that kind of doesn't matter at this point. But because of the game that they played back in Week 5, you know, you do wonder. The Bills, this is always the question of, well, those things worked, so do you stick with it? And generally, a lot of times, people think in a rematch, it favors the team who lost because they're going to make the adjustments. They're going to catch up to what they did differently. But the Bills will make adjustments as well. I'm going to go actually look at the snap counts right now from that game. Sanders and Diggs were on the field for over 75 or 79% of the snaps. What was different, though, they did rotate running backs. Reggie Gilliam actually had his highest snap count of the season in that game. Reggie Gilliam got inserted again last week, but he was on the field for 39%. From what I remember, and I remember coming on with you guys talking about how physical the Bills got with them.
Yep.
Looking at tight end, Dawson Knox was on the field almost every play. That was the only – and then Tommy Sweeney. They did use two tight ends a little bit. So, no, I don't think they won a lot of a real heavy 11 personnel in that particular game. In fact, I think that they – tried to be more physical with them using Sweeney and using Gilliam.
Okay. Yeah, so that would be, what is that, 12 with two tight ends?
Yeah.
Whatever. I got the lingo screwed up, but I knew they did something that was sort of a departure from the previous few games.
So you're right. Yeah, if you're thinking that way, you're right, Bulldog. That was the game where they went a little bit more with another tight end. Tommy Sweeney plays a little bit more. Reggie Gilliam plays more as a fullback, H-back, and I think that was a big difference in that game.
Which team blitzes more Sunday night, or does that depend on how the game starts and if one side thinks they don't need to as often? That's a big luxury, it would seem.
I think the Bills would, but I don't necessarily think they're going to do a lot of it. I don't know if either team's going to do a lot of it. I think you could get yourself in a lot of trouble, but the reason I would say that is because, boy, I don't know if the Chiefs want to defend all of those Bills receivers one-on-one and put less guys in coverage. That's tough. The Bills are in the same boat, but I think with the Bills, what we've seen is that, you know, Patrick Mahomes, if he gets pressure and he has to throw those shorter passes quicker, I think maybe that's even better than having him be able to have, you know, look down the field and want to make the big play. And I think the Bills might want to do that. But, you know, you blitz and you don't get there, that's less guys to tackle too. You know, and you get Tyreek Hill with one less guy to beat.
Yeah, and then there's the spy idea too, you know, whether Kansas City would want to commit a linebacker, one defensive player on Allen. I mean, Allen's rushing props are almost as high as Singletary's for this game, and that was a part of that Sunday night game, too, right away. He ran right through them right away in that game, Allen. So we know how effective that's been since day one with him. His FanDuel number is 52.5. Singletary's is 59.5 in this game, so they almost have them about equal for rushing yards. You know, this time of year, there's no reason to hold back. That's obvious. So that's been successful for the Bills, and I would expect to see them, you know, red zone especially, where it's tough. I mean, Kansas City is great down there, Sal. I mean, Kelsey's throwing touchdown passes.
Yeah.
It's just, it looks easy to the Chiefs inside the 5-yard line. You know, maybe Allen running is a big one. You don't want to end up kicking a 20-yard field goal again like last year.
They use so many different personnel groupings and formations and things down there. That's why it does look easy, but it's because they just confuse you. They have so many options available to them. Kelsey's so good. You know, they use that underhanded pass, you know, that they use sometimes. And like I said, Kelsey can throw it. In the Week 5 game, they get down there and they come up with this, like, really weird, funky formation where Mahomes is – like, he's not the quarterback, someone else is, and Tyreek Hill, but he never puts his hands under center, and Collinsworth makes a point about it and says, see, if he puts his hands under center, then he's got to be the quarterback. He can't do that. He just kind of there shouting, and then they move Mahomes back. They do a lot of eye candy, a lot of window dressing down there, but it does. It makes you think, and that's part of the reason.
Right. That was – he had Mahomes. You could read his lips. Who's the quarterback? You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I've seen better deception. But that did work, right? Didn't they? They scored.
They scored
down there on that one.
talking about the play where Kelce threw a touchdown?
No, the game in week five Pringle scored, I think, in the Reds. I think it was Pringle who caught the touchdown.
There was an NFL Films view of the Kelce passing touchdown from last week, and Mahomes, like, on the back end. Kelce throws, like, a slant pattern to maybe Hardman is the guy that is, like, kind of open, and he makes the pass, and it's a touchdown. Mahomes is wide open on the backside. Like, they have him running routes on plays like that. Or they'll have him catch it in motion. Like, I love – like every I get excited when they're not playing the Bills every time they get like around the 1 yard line because there's always something different.
And I think, you know, this is one of those football things you say, but it is true. Yes, they scored. Yes, obviously there's the result of the play you want, but it's also to put that on film so another team down the road has to say, oh my God, this is another thing we have to defend, and it puts you in a bind. If you see that formation, you're thinking that. Now they come back and they hit you with something else. So that's part of the reason. The Bills throw it to Tommy Doyle last week, get a touchdown late in the game. It's, you know, that's something now that's on film that the Chiefs have to think about, just like the Bills have to think that the Chiefs did last week.
Cover Tommy Doyle. There's just barely enough room on the paper for that one. But
you better worry about Tommy Doyle.
It's on there.
It would be great. I mean, I know the Bills have used their share of stuff in the red zone, too, with receiver option passes and that sort of stuff. And, of course, Doyle, Dawkins has caught some pass. Allen even caught a touchdown pass. So they like that sort of stuff, too. But man, I would just love it if one of those plays blew up on Kansas City. That little underhanded throw in traffic. Like, you know, let's see one of those go bust for a change, right? Maybe we're due for one of those, you know? And their fans will all be going, oh, you had to get cute, you know, and it's worked like a million times for them and nobody ever complained about it being cute. I'd love to hear some people complain about it being cute after Sunday because it goes off the rails and, like, I don't know, somebody just grabs it and rumbles 90 yards with it.
It's only cute when it fails.
Agree. I totally agree. I've thought about that. I think we talked in week five about how much I hate that play. I just hate it. How do you stop it? And it's just, come on, what are you doing? And but if the Bills ran it for a touchdown, I guess maybe I wouldn't hate it. And I'd be like, hey, that's cool. Look what Brian Daboll did. But and I think the Bills did try that actually with Dawson Knox not too long ago in a game. Mm-hmm. I don't think he got in the end zone, but they did the same thing.
Yes. I think it's a pretty ballsy play to me. Because there is a lot of traffic around it. It just always looks like just a hair off, and that could just go haywire on you.
Agreed. And you know, the Bills will be aware of it, but being aware of it and stopping it are two different things, and it's hard. And those guys are really well coached, obviously, with Andy Reid and his staff.
Fifth winningest coach ever, Reid. Regular season wins. Okay, Sal, have a great time.
Okay, guys, you too. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, safe travels. There's Sal Capaccio on our Western Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.